RNZ Pacific News, kia ora ana, I'm Koroi Hawkins. Health authorities in Solomon Islands are reporting 350 confirmed cases of COVID-19 today, with many more expected in the days ahead. 56 people with the virus have been admitted to hospital, however data on the severity of their infections is still being collated. A senior advisor to the Solomon Islands Health Ministry, Yogesh Chaudhary, says there is evidence of widespread community transmission in the capital Honiara, nearby Malaita province, and a potential threat in the western province. Dr. Chaudhary says the Ministry of Health is transitioning from a containment to a mitigation strategy, with case numbers expected to climb into the thousands in the coming weeks.
The number of people who are positive is also a function of our testing capacity, which stands at 200 tests a day. There are many samples that are still to be analyzed, and we are also testing a very limited number of people in terms of we have a targeted testing approach and not testing everyone. So the number of cases would be probably much higher than what we have right now.
Yogesh Chaudhary says test samples have been sent to Australia to determine the variant they are dealing with. An immunologist says getting a booster dose is still the best protection against contracting Omicron. There are now 19 cases of the highly contagious variant in the community in New Zealand, with 8 new ones today. Otago University Associate Professor Joanna Kerman has told Checkpoint anyone who had their second Pfizer dose 4 months ago should get their booster now. She says someone who has been fully vaccinated and boosted can still catch the virus and experience symptoms like a sore throat, a runny nose and muscle aches. Professor Kerman says an unvaccinated person is much more likely to develop a severe illness that will require hospital treatment, putting extra strain on health workers. The Fiji-born New Zealand resident found guilty last week of murdering 5 people has now been handed life sentences for each victim by a Fijian judge. Mohamed Rahish Isuf of Christchurch had killed an elderly couple, their daughter and her 2 children in the Nausori Highlands in August of 2019. In his ruling, Justice Toshara Rasinghe said Isuf betrayed the trust of his friends by murdering them. Isuf will also serve a minimum of 20 years for the attempted murder charge of an 11-month-old girl. Tonga is requesting tractors and tools to help food growing so it can quickly recover from the devastating volcanic eruption and tsunami. The Aotearoa Tonga Relief Committee has collected more in donations in 3 days at Mount Smart Stadium than free container space it's been allocated. Committee co-chair and local MP Jenny Salesa says they're sending non-perishable foods, but she says crops and gardens in Tonga have been ruined by volcanic ash and the government has told her they need equipment.
And what the Prime Minister was saying to me yesterday is that they would need things like tractors, gardening tools to assist the people of Tonga to grow their own food.
Jenny Salesa says there's also a need for boats and outboard motors, with many washed away in the tsunami. Frustration is mounting among Tongans in New Zealand desperate to send critical supplies back home. There is currently one drop-off centre at Auckland's Mount Smart Stadium, but it is closed today so officials can ramp up COVID measures and volunteers can pack the supplies already there ready for shipment on Wednesday. Aotearoa Tonga Relief Committee Secretary Pakilao Manasilua says the team is working on getting shipping containers elsewhere in the country. He says people are feeling anxious.
And fair enough, because our committee is called the Aotearoa Tongan Relief Committee, and rightly so, they're saying, well, what about the rest of Aotearoa, not just Auckland? So what we're doing is quickly trying to arrange containers to get out to the region.
Mount Smart Stadium is expected to be open for drop-offs tomorrow. A New Zealand Navy helicopter will fly engineers to remote parts of Tonga to repair communications equipment. The volcanic eruption more than a week ago has badly damaged infrastructure. The kingdom's main submarine communications cable is damaged and repair is likely to be weeks away. The commanding officer of the HMZS Aotearoa, Simon Griffiths, says the helicopter is on board the HMNZS Wellington.
Over the next 48 hours, we're anticipating her potentially using her helicopter to transfer Digicel, the local cell phone company, some of their technicians to remote locations in the north of Tonga to repair some damaged transmitter stations, which we hope will help enhance communications with outer islands.
Simon Griffiths says the aircraft will also conduct further surveillance flights while it's there, with reports of extensive damage to more remote islands to the north. Piles of debris have been scattered across Rarotonga as the strong weather system continues to hamper the Cook Islands. Yesterday, strong gusts and heavy rain battered the main island, with sea surges flooding low-lying areas and inundating roads with debris. Two ports have been damaged and the sea surges remain a threat. Cook Islands Met Service Director Arona Ngari says logs on roads have mostly been cleared.
It is a significant cleanup, but it's just some of these shouldn't have been there if we had kept the cleaning of some of the streams and some of the areas in which now, because of no barrier of the seas and the floods that came through, they just take anything out of where the people have not cleaned them. It's a major concern.
The Cook Islands travel bubble remains open despite New Zealand moving into red in the traffic light system. RNZ Pacific's Lydia Lewis has more.
Air New Zealand says updated COVID-19 measures in New Zealand have not popped the quarantine-free travel bubble. The airline says it has significant precautions in place for crew. It says, however, bad weather in Rarotonga is to blame for grounding flights over the weekend as flooding and strong winds slammed parts of the coast. A spokesperson says the customers affected have since departed, leaving Auckland Airport at 8:45 and 10:30 this morning.
Nickel producers in New Caledonia are buoyed by a sharp rise in the price of the metal amid rising demand and low inventories. On the London market, nickel futures have risen by 21% in the past month to more than $24,000 a ton, the highest since 2011. Nickel accounts for almost 90% of New Caledonia's exports. The share price of Eramet, the French parent company of New Caledonia's SLN Nickel Company, has jumped by 37% since the start of the month. The price boost also helps the Koniambo plant in the northern province, which, like the other producers, has suffered from sagging prices. In sports, the Fijian Sevens teams missed the Seville Sevens due to positive COVID-19 tests. Several players in both the men's and women's teams returned positive results. Fiji Rugby Union Chief Executive John O'Connor says the results were unexpected, but they had no other choice but to withdraw. O'Connor says the players and management who initially tested positive have since tested negative. In their absence, the United States take on France in the first women's semi-finals, followed by Russia's clash with Australia. In the men's event, South Africa face Australia and England then play Argentina. The New Zealand free skier Nico Porteous has won his second X Games gold medal. Less than 2 weeks out from the Winter Olympics in Beijing, the bronze medalist from the 2018 Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea, has taken out half-pipe gold in Aspen, Colorado. 20-year-old Porteous, who won the same event last year, was third going into the last round before sealing victory with a brilliant final run. The result comes just a day after New Zealand snowboarder Zoe Sadowski-Sinnott secured double gold and the third X Games title of her career. The Crusaders' chief executive, Colin Mansbridge, says they'll have measures in place in the hope of controlling the Omicron COVID-19 outbreak. Super Rugby Pacific is looking at the likely impact of the pandemic now that New Zealand has moved to a red light setting. Mansbridge says their main concern is that players remain healthy and that games can be played.
How many filters can you put in place to suppress the virus getting into an environment and then actually the impact of it spreading once it's in the environment? So there'll be lots of filters we put in place. The irony will be the first person who tests positive and it happens, they'll be doing us a favour because it'll teach us how to deal with that situation.
Mansbridge says they're working on limited fan access to Crusaders games with a crowd of about 1,000. And that's sports and news from RNZ Pacific.